Adyovatara purusha parasya
kala svabhava sadasanmanascha
dravyam vikaro guna indriyani
virat svarat stashnu charishnu bhumna
Adyovatara purusha parasya kala svabhava sarasammanascha dravyam vikaro guna indriyani virat svarat stashnu charishnu bhumna
Adyovatara purusha parasya
kala svabhava sarasammanascha dravyam vikaro guna indriyani virat svarat stashnu charishnu bhumna
Adyaha,
first.
Avatara,
incarnation.
Purushaha,
Karanarnavashai
Vishnu.
Parasya,
of the Lord.
Kalaha,
time.
Sabhava,
space.
Sat,
result.
Asat,
cause.
Manaha,
mind.
Cha,
also.
Dravyam,
elements.
Vikaraha,
material ego.
Gunaha,
modes of nature.
Indriyani,
senses.
Vidat,
complete whole body.
Swarat,
Arbhadakshaya
Vishnu. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu.
Stasu.
Immovable.
Tradishnu.
Movable.
Pumnaha.
Of the Supreme Lord.
Karnana Vashaya Vishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And he is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Karbhadakshaya Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. Purport. That the material creation is not permanent has been discussed many times here and before. The material creation is but a temporary exhibition of the material energy of the Almighty God. This material manifestation is necessary to give a chance to the conditioned souls who are unwilling to associate with the Lord in the relationship of loving transcendental service. Such unwilling conditioned souls are not allowed to enter into the liberated life of spiritual existence, because at heart they are not willing to serve. Instead, they want to enjoy themselves as imitation gods. The living entities are constitutionally eternal servitors of the Lord, but some of them, because of misusing their independence, do not wish to serve. Therefore, they are allowed to enjoy the material nature, which is called Maya, or illusion. It is called illusion are not factual enjoyers, although they think that they are, being illusioned by mind. Such illusion-living entities are given a chance at intervals to rectify their perverted mentality of becoming false masters of the material nature, and they are imparted lessons from the Vedas about their relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Om Gyan Timiran Tasya Gyan Jana Shadakaya Shakur Kita Vena Tasma Shri Gurdena Shri Chaitanya Madhavisham Sakitam Yena Rutane Svayam Bhagavaya Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Shadagnavagnatam Vitam Sanjajinam Sadvetam Sadhudhudakam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Adam Shadagnavagnatam Shri Shri Shakam Vitam Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Taptana Kanchana Gavarange, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hiri Kriye, Panchado Vatirupyascha, Kulasindhu Vyadeva Cha Patitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Adyovatara purusha parasya kala subhava sarasam manascha ravyam vikaro guna indriyami virat svarat stasmu tradition guna. Srila Prabhupada gives a summary of the reason for the creation of the material world. The process of creation is described. But first, Srila Prabhupada focuses on the reason for the creation. He says that it's unnecessary. But it's necessary because of the reluctance, Srila Prabhupada elsewhere says, causeless unwillingness of the conditioned souls to serve Krishna. I quoted yesterday from John Milton, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. This is the obstinate mentality of the wayward conditioned souls, that they would rather be in hell, that is to say, this material world, than be in the spiritual world and have to serve. So averse to the principle of servitude. Anyone, if you are asked, would you like to become a servant? No one wants to become a servant. Would you like to become a master? Yes, I would like to become a master. A Zen master, master electrician, master of the universe, master of anything, but not servant.
Master of business administration.
Master of business administration, master of philosophy. even master of a dog. If I can't get an MBA, at least I can get an M dog. When I was first coming, I heard this phrase that we're trying to imitate God, and we want to be God. And I thought, I don't want to imitate God. I never thought of being God. And that may be so in the literal sense that I've never thought that I would like to be God. I mean, I believe in God, but to speak of wanting to be God. But then when you look at what I do, it all consists of, I'm the master, I'm in control, I have power, I have influence, I have my project is to enjoy, which is God's business, to be the controller and to be the enjoyer. Prabhupada said, material consciousness has these two divisions. I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. So these two things, these are God's business. God is the controller, God is the enjoyer. We want to do that. We want to control video games. You're in control. So this is the problem. This persistent illusion that I can control and I can enjoy. I'm helpless. Avishap prakritarishap. Actually, my position is helpless. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we're being washed from life to life by the waves of material nature. Helplessly. There's no power I have that I could say, stop. Birth and death shall not touch me. I declare myself immune or above, or off limits. Yeah, go to hell. You're forced. Every one of us is forced. We have to get old. We have to die. And in between, we have to do so many other things between birth and death that we don't want to do. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go. I didn't want to go to kindergarten. I was forced, literally. I didn't want to go to school after that either. I was forced. So many other things I didn't want to do. That I was either forced to do by others or forced to do by my own gotta do it, my own passions. And where's the independence? Where's the control? The same guy who wants to be in control, if you ask him to control his senses, he can't do it. The controller of the country can't give up cigarettes. Where's the control? He can control great armies, but he can't control one little piece of flesh this big in his mouth. So, control is not actually within our grasp or enjoyment, except in cooperation with Krishna. With Krishna's help, we can control, especially self-control. Control the universe, but can't control our senses. First, real control means self-control. To the extent that we have self-control, we have freedom. To the extent that we're controlled, that we don't have self-control, will be controlled by our senses, by our mind. And to that extent, our freedom is curtailed. Under illusion, we're thinking, the more I do whatever I want to do, the more I'm free. But the real story is, the more I can control my senses, the more I'm free. We're thinking, the more that I do whatever I want to do, the more I'll enjoy. The real story is, the more I can control my senses and engage them in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna, who the more I can enjoy. Enjoy means in a different way. But service is actually enjoyable. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I don't want liberation. Liberation is a small thing. What to speak of? Nantanam, Najanam, Nasuguri, Kavitam, Vah. I don't want money. The whole world is mad after money. And it's stupid. What are you going to get from money? The more you having money does nothing for you. It only does something for you when you spend it. And spending it as it's doesn't do that much for you either. You spend it and it spends. And then they're so foolish, they get to the point where there's so much money, it's beyond spending. When you get up to a certain, okay, first there's bare subsistence, then there's comfort, then there's luxury, and then there's just so much money that you can't even get more luxury with it. Then the pleasure is seeing it increase. The pleasure of watching the numbers go higher. That's all it is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't want money. And then, no, I don't want money, but I want to be a leader. I want to have everybody saying, leader ki jai, leader ki jai. Or yes, we have followers, men and money. Men to be the controller of men, to be the controller of money, armies. Or janam, family members. This is my wife. These are my children. These are my grandchildren. Jana, the jana is increasing. Or Sundari. Why men? What about women? The whole world is enchanted. Men want to be attractive to women. Women want to be attractive to men. Men want, this is, we talked about control and enjoy. This is enjoyment, number one, enjoyment. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave up that so-called enjoyment. At a young age, he had a beautiful young wife, but he gave up married life for the service of Krishna. But he says, Nasundari, I don't want a beautiful young wife or girlfriends or his female admirers even had to offer obeisances from a long distance. That he had something going on to celebrate them. Nandanam Najanam Nasundu Kavitam Va Jagadisha. O Lord of the universe, Krishna, I don't want any of these things. God, I'm not in want of those things. Then maybe you like liberation. Everyone wants liberation once they get past, I don't want money, I don't want men, I don't want women. These things are not going to give me happiness. Give me liberation. No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I don't care if I come back birth after birth, that's fine. I just want to serve you. The Atmaramas Jamunio de Grantamakurant. Gurvanti Vaitakim Paktim. Ittam Pudagunamani. Krishna's qualities are so attractive that even self-realizing persons are attracted to the service of the Lord. Atmaram. Those who are taking pleasure in the self. Atmaram. The general people are taking pleasure in the body, or above that, taking pleasure in the mind. But the actual Atmaramas are those who are taking pleasure in the self-realization of the soul. But even they become attracted to Krishna because Krishna is more pleasing. The pleasure of serving Krishna is superior. So even those in incapable form. Bang them on the mic. There you go. Thank you. Maybe you want to take out your camera and pretend you're taking pictures. That wall is not your friend, by the way. Because Krishna has transcendental qualities, so he's attractive. But our attraction is now compromised because of our association with material energy. Prakritim Mohinim Shrita. Mohinim means bewildering or enchanting. The material nature is so enchanting that we forget. Why should I be interested in Krishna? And I've got something better. This is called Maya, to be attracted or attached to that which has no meaning. So Krishna comes from time to time at intervals, Prabhupada says, to give us the opportunity to change that. So the temporary creation of the material manifestation is an exhibition of the material energy of the Lord. The whole bewildering thing, the whole show. And to manage the whole show, the Supreme Lord incarnates himself as the Karnarnavashai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, just as a magistrate is deputed by the government to manage affairs temporarily. That is to say, Krishna deputes himself in another form to manage the universe, just as sometimes the police force deputes a portion of itself to manage something. July 4th, so they have special teams designated for Constitution Avenue and all of that. So they're really plenary portions, empowered plenary portions. Power portions of the total force. And they constitute themselves, they pull themselves together, they act as a team for 1 or 2 days, and then they are absorbed back into the normal police force. But when there's Kumbh Mela in India, they make a huge the need for these millions of people, so they make a whole police station and big security arrangements, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of policemen. And then when Kumbh Mela is there for like a month, and then when Kumbh Mela is over, the police are just back into the regular force. So the Mahavishnu is manifested at intervals by the Supreme Lord, or the Lord manifests himself as intervals. As the Mahavishnu to manage affairs temporarily. This Karna Dakshaya Vishnu causes the manifestation of material creation by looking over his material energy. Sa Aikshita, that's how Krishna does it. Powerful glances. Just like a powerful person. In Hiranyakashipu, he raised his eyebrows and demigods would tremble. So the glance can have power. A look of displeasure from the monarch and someone is put to death just by his glance. Or the glance of a devotee on someone, the person gets transcendental blessings just by glancing. So Mahavishnu has very powerful glance. He glances over material nature, and material nature is activated. Very, very powerful. In the first volume of this book, we have already discussed, to some extent, the explanation of the verse Jagarhe Bhagusham Rupam, the duration of the illusory play of material creation is called a kalpa. And we have already discussed the creation's taking place in kalpa after kalpa. By his incarnation and potential activities, that means potent activities, the complete ingredients of creation, namely time, space, cause, result, mind, the gross and subtle elements, and their interactional modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and then the senses and their reservoir source, the gigantic universal form, as the second incarnation, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and all living beings, both moving and standing, which come out of the second incarnation, all become manifested. This is, in summary, all the ingredients of the material nature, which will be described in more detail later. Ultimately, all these creative elements and the creation itself are but potential manifestations of the Supreme Lord, that is, manifestations of his potency. Nothing is independent of the control of the Supreme Being. This first incarnation in the material creation, namely Karnardava Shai Vishnu, is the plenary part of the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, described in the Dhamma Samhita as follows. Yasyayaka nishvasita kalamata lalambhya jivanti loma vilaja jagadankanata Vishnur maham sayiha yasya kala vishesho Govinda mari vishabhu paramahita jami. All the innumerable universes are maintained only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu, or Karnardava Shai Vishnu, who is only a plenary part of Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Any questions?
Yeah.
Is sat is translated as
cause of effect.
Cause and effect. So I was curious about that. I was, how do we understand cause and effect as an element?
Sadasad is translated many different ways. Sometimes it means eternal and temporary. Sometimes it means good and bad. Sadasad yoni jamasu. Sometimes it means cause and effect. So it has multiple meanings, just like words in English, like left sometimes means the opposite of right. Sometimes it means that they forgot you and therefore you were left behind. So sadasad has different meanings. Then how are they elements? Interesting question. Elements in a subtle sense, that like in a composition there are different elements, not just notes, but space. This is part of the composition, and of course rhythm is part of the composition, pace is part of the composition, that intangible thing called feeling. You know, it's supposed to be sad, or it's supposed to be pensive, or it's supposed to be happy, or whatever. So you have lots of different elements of a composition other than just notes. So in the material creation, there are tangible elements like earth, water, fire, and air. Then there are the more subtle elements like mind and intelligence. And there's this very subtle element, false ego, which consists of misidentification of all the rest of them. And there's cause and effect, which is also an element. Without that element, the creation doesn't work. There has to be cause and effect going on.
Something comes out of something else.
Yeah.
That idea.
Yeah. Yeah, cause and effect. So something causes something, and something's. They're mutual cause and effect. That's the way it works. That something is caused by something and becomes the cause of something else.
And it's similar also to this What, I never understood that, the efficient cause and the material cause.
Efficient cause and immediate cause. Immediate cause and remote cause. Sometimes they're called immediate cause and remote cause. Sometimes they're called efficient cause and remote cause. There are a couple of other names too. The basic meaning is the cause and the cause behind the cause. The immediate cause is material in the usual context discussed by Bhagavatam, is material nature. That's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also. Purusha.
Karya karana kartritve hetu prakriti uchite. It's said that cause and effect are caused by material nature. Karya karana kartritve. Cause and effect and the doer, they're all, material nature is responsible for all these things. Purusha sukadukana pokritve hetu uchite. In the business of enjoyment and suffering, it's the living entity himself who. The cause of all happiness and stress. But apart from that, so material nature is the cause of what's going on here. And science also agrees with that. They say, well, you ask your mother, well, why is this? And she says, well, because of this. You ask the scientists, they say, well, because of this. You know, why are there, why is the sky blue? And they say, well, the chromatic spectrum is affected by the. And ultimately, they trace everything back to these laws of nature. So, well, everything's because of the laws of nature. Okay, so nature is the cause of everything. But then there's a remote cause. So, actually, why is nature acting? Matter, nature is matter, really. If you get down to the molecular level, there's little blobs of stuff, protoplasm, and this plasm and that plasm. Genetic material. The genetic material that is chemicals. Messenger RNA, a speedy messenger. It's a chemical, fine. All the stuff in the cell is a chemical. You get down to the atomic level, all the stuff in the atom. It's just matter. So, what makes all this stuff go? Now forget, you know, how complicated it is and all of it. That's another thing the scientists have to deal with. But what makes it go at all? Why should it? We see that a car doesn't go unless somebody makes it go. A computer doesn't go unless somebody programs it and pushes a button. Machines don't go on their own. Matter doesn't self-organize. You don't see that the wood and the cement and so on have self-organized into this building. There's always intelligence. So that intelligence is the remote cause. Say in this building, so the workers and the construction company were the immediate cause, but the architect or the client is the remote cause. You know, they don't come on site and build the building. They just draw plans or write checks and the building gets built. They don't have to come here and get their hands dirty and wear yellow hats and all that stuff. They just write checks or make drawings. So Krishna is the remote cause for the personality of Godhead, Karnakshi. He's the remote cause. He's remote. He just glances. You know, the way the client just writes a check. He just glances and there's power. You know, just give your signature and there's power there. Well, you sign a piece of paper and the building goes up. The other guys, the immediate guys, they have to work. They have to slog it out. But the remote cause, he just writes a check and the building goes up. If he doesn't write the check, no builder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when he writes the check, the builder goes out. He's the remote cause. So Krishna's like that. He glances over material nature. If he doesn't glance, nothing happens. And when he glances, everything starts happening. The example given in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that in the when you make a pot, so the wheel is the immediate cause, but the potter is the remote cause. Just that the wheel is spinning doesn't mean the pot is going to get made. That may be the immediate thing, but the potter has to be there. So there's the immediate cause, the material nature, and the remote cause, the personality of God.
When you say efficient cause, is that another name for remote cause?
Is that the name? Yes, efficient cause, as I recall. I always have to like have it in front of me and say, okay, this matches that, but as I recall, efficient and remote
are the same.
Cooler terms. Or I have to tell you the truth, I have to look and say, okay, these are philosophical terms, they're not just used by us. They're used outside of questions. But as I remember, I would have to go back and look. To remember which is which. Immediate cause and remote cause are easy to remember because they're descriptive. Efficient cause and so on, they're more abstract, and I just need to look at something and remind myself.
Thanks.
Something else?
Maharaj, I have a question, but yesterday I couldn't make it. I mean, can I ask you to it?
It was a third question from yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yesterday you mentioned, you quote this verse, Yeyatama Prapayante, Tamsata Yodam. This is as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went on explaining that, you know, we give one step towards Krishna, and Krishna gives 10 steps towards us.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how this accordingly works? I mean, is one step towards 10? I mean, how is...
What's the ratio?
We say, Yayatama Prapayante Tamsata Yodam. As one approaches me, I reciprocate accordingly. But then we say, if you take one step toward Krishna, Krishna takes one step toward you, 10 steps toward you. Well, that's accordingly. Just like, you know, in fundraising, you know, for every $10 we raise, such and such foundation will give us $10, or such and such foundation will give us $20, or such and such. That's proportionate. It's just that the proportion is greater on one side than on the other. I raise $10 and they give me $50. So it's proportionate as you approach. If you approach with material desires, you may get material reciprocation. If you approach wanting to be merged, you may get merged. If you approach wanting to serve, you get the chance to serve. But Krishna reciprocates more eager than we are to take part in the reciprocal relationship. So he's more active. Okay. Yes.
The end of that verse that he just quoted, it says that everyone follows my path in order.
What does that mean? Manavar tante minusya parta sarvisham. Everyone follows me in all respects. Manavar, my path, everyone follows. Yes. It can look different ways. One thing is all the paths have already been made by Krishna. The path of being a karmi, the path of being a jnani, the path of being a yogi, the path of being whatever it is. These have all been constructed by Krishna. So everyone's following some different path. Even the guy who says, I make my own path, I follow my own path. Even on his path, he's following a path that's constructed by Krishna through his material energy. Another meaning is everyone's approaching Krishna. All, they say all paths lead to God. They do, but in different ways. For someone, Krishna is God. For someone else, Ram is God. For someone else, Durga is God. For someone else, Shiva is God. All right, if you're worshiping Durga or Shiva, you're really worshiping Krishna. I mean, Krishna says, Devi Ma Shradhyandita, very faithfully worshipping some other god. Yeganya Devata Bhakta Yujante Shradhyandita. Te Vimame. Actually, you're just worshipping me. What is Indra? What is Shiva? What is Durga? What is Ganesh? Other than a partial manifestation of Krishna. So they're actually taking on Devakunta. Krishna says they're really worshipping me. Yajantya Vidipurvakam. They're just doing it the wrong way. A Vidipurvakam. They're doing it the wrong way, but they're worshipping me. Someone loves his country. Well, what's country? What's the country but a manifestation of Krishna? Someone loves his wife. What's the wife but a manifestation of Krishna? Someone loves his dog. What's the dog but a manifestation of Krishna? So everybody's loving Krishna, but indirectly. Everyone's approaching Krishna, but indirectly. All these people who say, I don't serve, they're serving indirectly.
During the japa retreat that we had last year on the bus tour with you and Sharanagati, I think we were on top of the little Govardhan Hill, reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita about the glories of the holy name, and somewhere in the purport, Srila Prabhupada was saying that really every name in the universe is in some way indirectly describing Krishna. Every noun is just describing an aspect of the universal form, so they're all worshipping Krishna, calling out to Krishna all the time, except indirectly.
Yeah, I think in the chapter where Vasudeva is being instructed by the sages, that statement is the words that we use to distinguish one thing from another are really nothing but Krishna. It's Shabdake, Bhagavan, I'm the sound of the ethers. All the words are really Krishna. But indirectly, when you say, some mundane lyric, Krishna, you chant some Monday and they're really chanting Krishna, but it doesn't remind you of Krishna because it's indirect. It reminds you of whatever feature of the material energy is being designated or glorified or surrendered to. Something else?
The logical follow-up question then would be for someone to say, well, why can't I just worship the sun or the ocean? Or
you can worship the sun, the ocean, and then you're worshiping Krishna indirectly, which Krishna says is the wrong way, because then you don't get the benefit. Just like if you you're trying to build a fire and you pour the ghee into the wood where there's no fire yet. You've got a big patch of fire and you pour the ghee over there and maybe where the ashes are. So that's also part of the fire, but you're not going to get the benefit. Or if you anything like that, you have to do it the right way. Or if you probably gave the example, you're cooking, but you're keeping the pot 2 feet above the flame. Well, your pot is, I put the pot on the flame, but it didn't. Well, yeah, you were 2 feet high, 2 feet above, instead of right on it. So maybe you'll get, a couple little, what do they call it? Maybe little drops of heat energy, a few quanta of heat energy, but not much. You get right on the flame, and things will cook. Or, if you approach your local councilman indirectly approach the President of the United States, but you didn't get the same benefits as somehow whether you had a direct exchange with the Obama person. Indirectly, he's gotten all of his power from the President because he's a little member of a little government which is finally dependent on the big government. But approaching the little guy or approaching him, it doesn't have the same effect.
Another example Prabhupada gives to illustrate that is bribing the constable.
Yeah, bribing the constable.
Do you explain that?
Yeah, if you bribe the local officer, it's not the same as paying your taxes. you are giving money to the government.
I'm supposed to give, according to the law, 17% of my total income to the government. And so I gave it, since I'm in the transportation business, I gave it to the transportation secretary in the form of a bribe. Well, that is giving money to the government, but it's a vipurvakam, it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Or Prabhupada gave another example, it's really a nice example. That someone says, well, you know, it's all the same. Prabhupada gave the example that when you meet your spiritual master, then you touch his feet. But someone says, well, that's all right, but I'd like to touch his head. No, that's doing it the wrong way. You are touching the spiritual master, but you're doing it the wrong way.
So is it really because Krishna wants it? That's why we do it a certain way.
Yeah, finally, Krishna, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the preface to Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna says, surrender to me. He says, Krishna says it and he demands it. This is what Krishna wants. Not, well, I'd rather, you know, I don't care what you'd rather, this is what I want you to do, and I'm the supreme personality. So you have a choice, Krishna says to Arjuna. You take to see the Thakur, do what you like. But here's what I'm telling you to do. Now you can make it, you know, you still have your little independence. You can do what I'm telling you, you can do something else. Of course, if you do something else, you'll be lost. But you can.
How can faithless atheists and demons follow Krishna?
Yes, they're following Maya, which is Krishna's energy. So, because there's no difference between the energy and the source of the energy, so they're following Krishna, but indirectly.
So we're in this world because of our causeless unwillingness to serve.
It's
kind of the sort, all the lust, anger, greed, etc., are all manifestations of that, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah, in the third canto, we find that basically the whole material world is an expansion of false ego.
Mm-hmm.
All these other things, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the sense objects, they're all expended from false ego. And Prabhupada is telling us again and again, you're not this body. And we're thinking, yeah, that's actually the basic thing, because what is false ego? I am this body. So if we actually get free from false ego, you're free from all the rest of this. And how do we get free from false ego? We have to come to real ego. Circle of Krishna.
Is there any way we can accelerate the desire to serve Krishna?
Yes, that's the process of devotional service accelerates that. It's all about accelerating that desire. Hearing, chanting, associating with devotees, worshiping the deity. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, living in Vrindavan, sadhu sangha, Krishna Seva.
What are they?
This DVD has various things on it. It has some, it's all video clips. It's full of video clips. There's some instructions from Srila Prabhupada about book distribution and about the DVD. There's an address by Gopal Krishna Maharaj about the importance of book distribution. There are realizations from Vaisheshika Prabhu or Kurana, several other devotees about the value of book distribution. There's a video about the DVT art seminar in Vrindavan, a beautiful video by Dhamma. There's some live action on the street, on the scene, book distribution. done by devotees like Vijay, Prabhupati, Mangal, Madhumanga in Europe, very strong book distributor. Several other book distributors who are so expert, I mentioned Vijay, they're so expert that it just looks like it's as easy as meeting someone. They're so experienced and so dedicated and so such great book distributors that it makes the book just look easy. And also, what's nice is that there are videos where they approach someone and the person says no thanks and it's no go, nothing happens, which is probably, you know, more exchanges than the successful ones, or the ones where there's apparently no result and the person doesn't take the book. So there's a number of those exchanges showing how those devotees handle that, how they respond to a person who says, well, gotta go, or not interested, or got one, or whatever it is that they, whatever form of no they want to offer. There's also a section of videos explaining, answering various questions about the editing of Srila Prabhupada's books. Video clips from me, Dravida Prabhu, Harisarya Prabhu, Kesha Bharati Maharaj, Satyadharaya Prabhu, Narasha Prabhu, Saras Prabhu, and others about the editing of Prabhupada's books and DVT's policies on that. There's questions that have arisen. Anything else on the DVT? I think those are the main spots.
It's good and everybody should have one.
They're good and everyone should have one. They were made by Northern European DVT for this past Prabhupada Sankirtan Maryland. And they're being distributed also in North America. And they're cool.
What is it called?
Well, it's kind of like the White Album, you know?
Okay,
there's
so
no title to it.
Okay.
There's just a big DVT logo on the front.
Okay.
But we call them Sankirtan DVT.